Welcome back. In this lesson, you'll take what you've learned throughout the course about building stronger systems and use it to help your teams stay committed to the systems that you operate together. And to do that, we need to achieve three things. We need to understand how teams are motivated. We need to understand why team systems break down. And we need to learn what things we can do to avoid those breakdowns. So, how exactly is a team motivated to work together? It's one thing to understand yourself and what you need to be motivated and, you know, hold yourself accountable. It's another to understand what other people need in order to do the same thing when they're all working together. Or is it? You know, a few of the things that a team needs to really succeed when they're operating a shared system are the same as any other system. So first, you need a clear and understandable end goal. Everyone involved, you know, might have their own benchmarks and metrics for measuring success, you know, on the individual pieces of the system they use, but it's also critical that everyone understands and agrees on what the whole team is working towards. For example, if you think of a business as, you know, one giant system, then you could say that, you know, the overall purpose is to make money. Everyone working there probably understands that, right? Even if Ted in human resources never meets a customer or handles money for his whole career, he knows that his work supports the overall mission of the business. Or if a doctor's office has the primary goal to provide excellent patient care, then everyone, no matter what their job is, has the ultimate goal of creating a really great experience for the patients, you know, that come to their clinic. But a shared goal is not enough, right? That will get everyone on the same page, but to make a team system work smoothly, everyone also needs to feel a sense of shared contribution. They need to feel like they're contributing in some, you know, tangible way to that ultimate goal. They need to know, you know, that if they work their part of the system successfully, then it will make a difference, you know, and it will help the rest of their team. But just as important as that feeling of contribution is, a sense of responsibility has to be there too. Each player in a team system needs to also understand that if they don't do their best work, you know, in their part of the system, then the end result, you know, is going to suffer, and so will their team. Each person needs to feel individually responsible for their contribution to the ultimate outcome. But how do you measure that? Well, that brings us to the third motivating factor in a team system: clear expectations. When you have a group of people all working together towards a shared goal, it's critical that everyone knows what their personal goalposts are. You know, there's a sense of collective responsibility to make the whole thing great. But the only way to actually do that is to make sure that each player understands exactly what outcomes they are personally responsible for. So let's look at the business example again. And let's think about, let's say, a construction company. Their shared goal is to, you know, build stuff and make money doing it. It needs to be really clear to each person inside that company what their individually responsible for in order to make that outcome happen. So the receptionist should understand exactly how to greet and route communication to the right people within the company. And the estimator should know that their job is to perfectly guess how much it will cost to build something so that the company's proposals are accurate. The tradespeople need to know exactly how their skills should be used to, you know, construct each piece of the project. And the project manager should feel personally responsible for making sure everything happens, you know, on time and under budget. When everyone knows exactly what metrics they need to be watching and working on, that's when, you know, the construction company will be the most successful. And so it is with, you know, any business or any system within a business or at home or at church or wherever. It doesn't matter where it is or how big it is. If a team of people are working together, those are the three aspects that you need to control in order to keep everyone motivated and, you know, hold them accountable. So then, you know, why do team systems break down? The answer is pretty simple, right? Because one or more of those three team motivators is either never addressed in the first place, or they are addressed, but they're done poorly, or, you know, they get abandoned. As a result, the system, you know, slowly deteriorates until it, you know, fails completely. If you want your team systems to have the best chance of long-term survival, the way to achieve that is by holding everyone involved accountable to it. So how do you do it, right? You need to find ways to reinforce those three team motivators. When you do a great job of incorporating the three team motivators into your system, you know, your work actually gets easier over time because the system becomes a sort of self-perpetuating machine. If the team is all on board, you know, they feel responsible for it and they know what's expected of them, so they will naturally take care of the system because that's a desirable and, you know, stable situation to be in, and it's naturally advantageous for them to maintain it and protect it. So let's talk about how to actually get there. What do you need to do to better incorporate those three motivators into your team systems? Well, first, let's look at building a shared goal. The examples we used earlier were a construction company and a doctor's office. But really, this applies to any business. And, you know, not just any business, but any team system. When everyone agrees what the end result of using a system is supposed to be, everyone will take, you know, more confident action to achieve that goal. And there are two things that you can do to foster that agreement. So first is to involve everyone who will use the system in the process of actually creating it. When your team or your family or whoever, you know, gets to be a part of the discussion and help craft the goal that they'll be working towards, it's a lot easier to get them to buy into it. You know, of course, this step often gets skipped because we're used to, you know, working in a more, you know, top-down sort of structure. Someone at, you know, the top of the org chart decides this is what we're trying to achieve, and then, you know, designs a system for a bunch of other people to follow in order to achieve it. Now, if that's you, you might be able to, you know, make it work because you have some authority over the people working your system, and you can, you know, you can force them to use it. In that case, you'll probably get compliance at first, but it will be harder and harder to maintain it over time. You know, eventually, everybody cracks. And if someone sees the end goal differently than you do, they're going to do what they think that they need to do to achieve the goal that they see. Or, you know, you might get lucky and everyone will naturally align with the goal. That's always nice, but you certainly can't count on it. So wherever you can, you need to include the people who will be involved in operating the system from the very beginning. You need to sell the vision. And until you've successfully sold the vision, you should hold off on figuring out how to achieve it. Of course, that's not always practical, right? Sometimes you need to involve way too many people. In that case, you know, relying on some hierarchy is okay, right? You sell the vision to a small group of people, and then they're responsible to sell it to the others. But the end result is still the same in that, you know, you should be spending a lot of time up front getting buy-in before creating whatever system you'll need to bring the vision to life. Other times, you have a system running already and you need to insert new people into it. In these cases, you'll want to make sure that you take the time to bring those people, you know, up to speed and that they understand and buy into what you're trying to achieve before setting them loose. And you should take care not to introduce or replace too many people in the system at the same time, right? You want to maintain continuity. If, for instance, in a business you have a lot of turnover, you could find yourself in a place where everyone in one part of the system isn't close to someone else who's been involved long enough to understand and buy into, you know, the vision. And when that happens, the vision gets foggy and you're going to run into trouble. And what about shared responsibility? Like we've learned, it's critically important to a team system that everyone feels bought into and responsible for the outcome that the system is designed for. If even a small portion of people involved don't feel, you know, that responsibility, it can lead to consistent and frustrating breakdowns and, you know, just generally poor performance. So what do you do? This is another problem that can be solved by early involvement, you know, of all the key players. Even if you're an expert at, you know, all the functions that will need to be covered to operate your team system, you'll be shooting yourself in the foot if you try to create it by yourself without any input, right? When you include key players in the creation process, it fosters a sense of, you know, ownership, and it gets easier to hold everyone involved accountable because they had a say in how the system actually works. But when you exclude your team from the creation process, that bond of ownership, it won't be there. They won't feel attached to your system because they did not have a personal hand in, you know, creating it. And it makes it more difficult to hold everyone accountable to it. If you remember from the very beginning of the course, one of the things that might have made you hesitant to embrace systems in your own life is that the ones you are used to were forced on you by an authority figure. If you create a system on your own and pass it off to your team, you'll be perpetuating that problem and making them feel the same way. And that's beside the fact that even though you likely know a lot, the people who will be operating the system probably have some very specialized knowledge that can help you make your system much stronger from the very beginning. So even though it takes a lot more time and patience to involve others in the creation process, it's worth the effort and the occasional frustration, because the end result, you know, of what you get is fundamentally stronger, and it will require less upkeep on your part because everyone will feel that responsibility to maintain what they had a hand in creating. If you get people on board from the very beginning and foster an understanding of the bigger picture, you're going to be, you know, well on your way to creating a really great team system that everyone is motivated to use and, most importantly, take care of. But you can still run into issues during the day-to-day operation of these systems, especially when a lot of people are involved. The final piece of the puzzle, then, is holding your team accountable to the everyday outcomes that need to happen in order to make the big picture possible. And to do that, everyone involved needs to know exactly what is expected of them and what they can expect from others. Setting clear expectations is critical to running a successful shared system. When everyone knows exactly what they're required to produce, it removes uncertainty about, you know, their performance. And that clarity makes them more productive. And when everyone knows what they can expect from everyone else, it makes it much easier for the whole team to hold each other accountable for the outcomes that are expected of them. This is a really big benefit to you because you no longer have to be an authoritarian, you know, trying to personally hold everyone accountable. When everyone knows what, you know, everyone else is supposed to be doing and feels responsible for the success of the whole system, they'll notice problems faster and be more motivated to do something about them. And here's another big benefit to setting extremely clear expectations. It helps to remove feelings of animosity and character judgment when things break down. Problem solving starts to naturally focus more on improving the system and the skills of the people operating it instead of on the people themselves. In my own businesses and projects, there's one rule I always try to follow when I have a team operating a system, and that is no one gets in trouble for following the system. If something goes wrong, we don't, you know, point fingers at the person who dropped the ball and try to figure out what's wrong with them or what they did wrong. Instead, we ask, you know, is there a system or a process in place? If there isn't, then we create one so that specific problem doesn't happen again. If there is a system, we ask, you know, did you know about it and did you know how to operate it? If the answer is no, then there's a training problem and we didn't, you know, prepare that person to be successful. That's our fault. And if they did know there was a system and they did know how to use it, then we ask, did you follow it? And if they followed it and something still went wrong, then the problem isn't the person, it's the system. And that reveals that the system has a weakness that needs to be improved. You make an update and you move on. Now, does this solve every problem? No, of course not. You're still going to run into situations where someone knew exactly what to do, but didn't do it. Those are the times when you'll have to step up and be a leader to figure out why they didn't do what they knew they were supposed to do. You know, do they not agree with the end goal of the system? Do they not believe that what they're supposed to do actually works and they want to do it differently? Were they overwhelmed and, you know, just skipped steps? Or did they get lazy or complacent? You know, when you set incredibly clear expectations and get everyone on board from the beginning, you almost never get to this point. Problems solve themselves long before you ever have to get involved and, you know, even have those tough conversations. So if you're working with a team and you want to see them be successful, then those are the three best ways to hold everyone accountable and give your system the best shot at succeeding, you know, over the long term. First, you need to make sure that you have the right people involved from the beginning. You know, does everyone agree on what the ultimate goal is? If not, you're going to run into problems fast. Once everyone agrees on the ultimate goal, you need to involve your team in creating the system that will help you achieve it. When everyone feels like they built it, everyone will want to take care of it. And after those foundations are set, everyone needs to know exactly what is expected of them, as well as what they can expect from everyone else. When expectations are crystal clear, the fear and uncertainty that causes personality conflicts or makes people shy away from responsibility starts to melt away. When something goes wrong, it's much easier to fix. So take a look at one of the team systems that you're invested in right now and ask yourself if you have these three bases covered. If you don't, what steps can you take to start shoring up the missing pieces? And when you're through with that, I'll see you in the next... Wait, what's that? This is the last... I'm being told this is the last lesson. Is that right? This is the last lesson. I won't see you in the next lesson. Oh, wow. Well, I guess... Holy smokes. Start the fireworks. Drop the balloons. I'm sorry? No? I'm being told that there's no fireworks or balloons. That's odd. Why are there no fireworks or balloons? They said I didn't order them. Jeez Louise. All right, well, I guess I need to go update my course completion system because I totally thought we were going to drop some balloons from the ceilings and fireworks were going to be going off everywhere and it was going to be amazing and there were going to be ponies and rainbows and dancing bears. Well, I guess you'll just have to be satisfied with the fact that you just tremendously improved your life. If you can deal with that for a little bit, I will go try to find some circus animals. See you soon.